Goshen's pass off an Aaron Stick, and Nelson scores! Oh, do the Islanders get a break? And they take a 2-0 lead!
Islanders country, hello and welcome to the Isles Blog podcast. I'm Joe Bono. A reminder, you can follow the entire team on Twitter at Isles Blog, and you can subscribe to the podcast via iTunes or listen at nyislesblog.com. Our guest is the host of the KFC Radio and Mail Time podcast. You can read him daily at Barstool Sports New York and follow him on Twitter at KFC Barstool. It's Kevin Clancy. Kevin, opening day NCAA title game, and you have a few minutes to talk hockey with us. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely, man. It's a beautiful day. Beautiful day to be a sports fan.
So in this year of nostalgia and fans reminiscing about their Coliseum memories, I figure I talked to an admitted bandwagon Islanders fan, and it didn't start this year. It started a couple years ago during the lockout season of 2013. So what were the kind of key events that transpired to have you go from hockey fan free agent to Islander bandwagon and good luck charm?
Let me see. Let's go back a couple of years ago. I never really grew up playing or watching hockey much, so it always just kind of been that extra sport on the side for me. And then a couple of years ago, I decided, I think at the time we were doing a DraftKings promotion on Barstool, and it was time to draft a team. And I just said, you know what, forget it. Let me complete the circle. I'm already a long-suffering Mets fan, already miserable with the Jets. They're all miserable with the Knicks. And I just said, you know what, this is who I am, so let me embrace the Islanders fan. At that point, you know, the Isles were the Isles, you know, the Isles that everybody jokes about and the Isles that everyone thinks about for the past, you know, 30-something years before they won all those cups. So I threw together a DraftKings team, and right around that same time, and they ended up winning money that night. They played the Capitals, and I ended up winning. So I said, hey, I'm off to a good start. I drafted basically an entire team of Islanders. About a couple weeks later, I believe, Matt Martin just destroyed some guy's face on the Devils. I can't remember his name. Tom something, I think it was. He just knocked the hell out of him. So I was like, all right, that was cool. Now I can get to this hockey thing. This is fun. And then from there, it was the lockout season. They went on their run and ended up making the playoffs and giving the Penguins a run for their money in the first round. And at that point, I was just kind of enlightened to the sport of hockey, really. I mean, for the longest time, I just heard these hockey hipsters, you know the type who hockey is the best sport ever. Every other sport sucks. I hate the NBA. How could you watch that? Why don't you watch hockey? And, you know, I always kind of been like, whatever, you guys enjoy your sport. I don't really quite see the allure of it. But as soon as I kind of dove in and dug into a team and got to see that playoff push and then see playoff hockey, it makes sense. I really can understand why those diehard hockey fans are as passionate as they are about it, because it was just electric that year. So that's kind of how it all began. Obviously the year after that, things, you know, the bandwagon kind of fell off.
Went
the track
back to normal.
Yeah, exactly. Then that's what was funny, because everyone was joking like, oh, you know, great time to jump on the bandwagon. You know, Tavares is coming into his own and this team's about to take off. And then things came back to the earth a little bit. And it was like, okay, now I can understand why, you know, the Islanders always kind of fit in with that gym fan, Jets, Islanders, Mets. But, you know, obviously then this year has been a return to contention. So it's been, you know, a brief but up and down roller coaster for me. So it's funny to hear all you guys talking about your Coliseum memories and, you know, and all this long history. And I'm just kind of like, yeah, you know, been around for a couple of years.
Were you ever tempted to be a hockey fan at any other point? I mean, you're pretty young when the Rangers win in 94, the Devils won 3 Stanley Cups. So, you know, Rangers went to a conference finals in 97, 2012, they go to the conference finals. At that point, you're very much already invested in doing Barstool New York at a big time level. There was no other point that said, maybe I should kind of become a Rangers fan or see what the Devils are doing at no other point.
There was a brief period where I was just, for the sake of the blog, understanding that the Rangers fans kind of dominated the city at that point, where I would, you know, I would send out a tweet here and there. I had a hockey writer at the time who, you know, I still do now, 6'10", he kind of takes care of all the hockey writing, Rangers writing, rather. You know, I let him kind of take care of things, and every now and then I would say, you know, send out a pretty generic tweet about Henrik Lundqvist, Callahan at the time. But it was never... You know, it was more, you know, just checking in on the game. let me do my job and make sure New York hockey is kind of represented on the site. There was never a moment where I was really like, I like this team. I want to, you know, invest myself in this team. Because like I said, the Islanders are really more of like who I am historically as a fan. You know what I mean? In this city, the allegiances are so clear-cut ordinarily. So the Rangers just never really made sense. And when I really what kind of drew me in and really like sealed the deal for me, starting to actually enjoy it, not just being, you know, a bandwagon shtick, was the fans. I think Islanders fans are some of the most passionate, you know, like-minded fans to myself, that it really just became a lot more like, okay, I get it. These guys are my people. These are the guys I identify with. Whereas the Rangers fans are more of the, you know, Yankees, Giants, Rangers sort of alignment that I despise with all of my heart. So it really was more about the fan base and understanding, you know, how this team operates versus the Rangers that really drew me in. And then, of course,
now it has to...
we got such a good response from the team when I started writing. You know, right away at the time, Colin McDonald reached out to me. He had been a Barstool reader forever because he's, you know, originally from Connecticut and was a Boston reader. You know, he reached out to me and was great. You know, when we made those T-shirts, you know, all the guys reached out and seemed to love them. I got, you know, they were all wearing them in the locker room. So obviously, you know, when you see a team take a liking to it and almost they really appreciated the sport because, you know, the Islanders have always kind of been underrepresented in the city. That obviously, you know, made it all worth it too, just seeing that not only the fans, but the players themselves kind of hopped on the bandwagon with me, you know?
Yeah, I believe, as you said, that Colin McDonald was the first to acknowledge the non-jinx reverse mush that was occurring during the 2013. I've done my research for this.
Big moment for my career, Joe, because anybody who follows me closely knows that I am the ultimate sports mush and everything that I root for immediately goes down the tubes. So for the first time when I hopped on a couple years ago and they actually turned it around, Colin's first tweet to me, I remember he was like, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. You know, just keep doing what you're doing. So I was like, wow, for the first time, I'm actually a good luck charm. You know, so that also contributed as well. I was like, you know, for the first time ever, I'm doing something good for a team rather than the opposite.
Isles Blog Podcast, chatting with Kevin Clancy at KFC Barstool. So you mentioned Islanders fans being among the most passionate fans in the area, which is true, despite the fact that there's probably a smaller population of Islander fans than there are of some of the other sports teams. I mean, Isles Twitter goes nuts for better or for worse during the course of games. Has the reception been, hasn't been always 100% positive, though, about you jumping on the bandwagon? There's been some detractors who, you know, call you a fraud, even though you've admitted to being one.
Yeah, there's a handful of Isles Twitter guys. I don't even engage them at this point because I'm actually convinced they're like full-blown lunatics. I think there's something wrong with these guys. These are guys who you know, caught wind, like I said, of, you know, we've sold Rangers T-shirts over the years the same way that we'll sell Yankee shirts and Giants shirts because it's a business and we're a New York blog and, you know, sometimes you got to make some money. So there have been times, yes, where my website has sold other teams' apparel, even though I'm a Mets, Jets, Knicks guy. There's a few guys who really don't like the fact that I've ever pushed Rangers gear, and they can't grasp the idea that I'm an admitted bandwagon fan. Everyone says you're a fraud. You don't know hockey. You know what you're talking about. And every time I'm like, I know, I get it. I'm not the X's and O's guys. I'm never going to be able to break down a game box for you. I'm really here just to, you know, rally the fan base and enjoy the ride. So it's hard to argue with someone who, when they call you a bandwagon fan and you admit to it, and they still don't seem to understand it. So I get it. There are fans who have suffered a lot longer than me and been through a lot more than me, watched a lot more than me. So, you know, it's annoying to see someone just kind of jump in when things are heating up. But, you know, it is what it is. I admit to it. I know what I am and what I'm not.
You touched about this a little bit before. Obviously, at Barstool Sports, you guys, at the level you're at now and the intention you generate, you know, Wes Welker at the racetrack, Rob Gronkowski, you know, grading you figure skating, I guess, for lack of a better word. You know, back in your one of the earlier interviews you did with Pedro Martinez, but hockey players in general are some of the nicest, most open, most down-to-earth guys. talk about your experience with just hockey players, maybe in general, in comparison to some of the other sports. Are they more forthcoming? Or are they easier to kind of have a back and forth with and just kind of have a regular down to earth conversation with?
100%. Everything you just said is so true. And I had heard it for a while as well, before I was even into hockey. Cal, they're the down to earth guys. They're the humble guys. They're not the you know, overpaid, you know, obnoxious athletes that some of the other sports are. And then when I will say that even further for the Rangers, like for the Islanders, the Rangers are kind of like that buttoned up organization that doesn't really allow much to go by, you know, as far as PR goes and appearances goes and all that kind of stuff. The Islanders, you know, right off the bat, like I said, with Colin, were great. You know, I ended up kind of befriending Matt Martin, and, you know, I'll be in contact with him constantly. You know, after things, you know, really took off with some of the Rangers shirts, JT was like kind enough to reach out to me on Twitter and just be like, you know, thanks a lot. I would love the shirts. Can I get, you know, can we get a pair? You know, can we get these sizes? I'd love to wear them for you. Just, you know, in the world where professional athletes are just, they seem so like unattainable and you can't reach them and they're just separate from you. The hockey guys, you know, all across the Barstool network, the Blackhawks, when they won the cup, they invited Big Cat to come out with them and follow the cup around and party with them at the bars. Bruins guys are always wearing our t-shirts as well. So, you know, it's really just been the sport in general has really responded to us and, you know, the type of Barstool reader, but especially the Isles, because like you said, they're really, you know, they're a small but rapid fan base and probably the smallest of the fan base in the area. Yet, if you look at our t-shirt sales and the number of designs we've churned out and the number of successful shirts that I've been selling on Barstool, Islanders are probably one of the most successful, one of the most lucrative for us. So, you know, it's not really always about, it's a quality over quantity thing. You know, when the Islanders fans may not be all over the place, but the ones that are very knowledgeable, very passionate and want to represent their team and support them. So, you know, everything you said about the players kind of translates to the fans as well.
When was the last time you were at the Coliseum? Were you at a game this year?
No, I didn't make it out this year. Last year I went, and then what, I went out probably a handful of times in that lockout year. That was really when I got my first taste of live hockey. There really is just another cliche that I heard all the time. You know, there's nothing better than live hockey, and held true. You know, I mean, when I first got there, and I had been to a couple of hockey games when I was younger as a kid, but nothing recently in my older years. And you know, seeing that game live, especially when, you know, the playoff push was going down and things were really on the line. There really is nothing quite like it.
Joe Bono, Isles Blog Podcast, chatting with Kevin Clancy at KFC Barstool, barstoolsports.com, of course. So Islanders are 1 point away from clinching a playoff berth as we speak here. So hopefully the non-jinx reverse mush is intact. Otherwise, I think both of us will be in some trouble. So Islanders, yeah. Rangers won't be a first-round matchup. But given the kind of, you know, the hold you have over, you know, New York sports and New York sports fans and the type of big gatherings and events you do when one team is in the playoffs, what could you imagine Barstool doing if it's Islanders and Rangers, you know, seven-game series here in the spring?
Joe, I'm telling you right now, I have no clue what to do or what to expect about the potential of that matchup, because I wish I was exaggerating when I say, you know, ordinarily what we do is we have these game watches where, you know, meet at the bar, we're all going to watch the game, here's the drink special, and everybody gets together. There really hasn't been any sort of intercity rivalry when it comes to that, you know. You know, maybe here and there we've done like a Subway Series thing, but, you know, Mets-Yankees is really, you know, it's just a novelty, really. It's there's nothing really doing there, and Giants-Jets hardly ever happens. It's a one-time thing, no big deal. But a seven-game series potentially between those two teams, if I have them all at one bar, I think there's going to be fights. I think there's punches will be thrown. I'm going to need extra security. I'm going to need extra bouncers. I'm genuinely thinking if it does happen, I might need to have a Rangers bar and an Islanders bar. Because it's the Jets and the Sharks, dude. I don't know if I can mix them up. It's a legitimate concern of mine, and I'm laughing about it. But I could absolutely see a scenario where, you know, these guys get in the same room and a few beers have been had, and all of a sudden there's a controversial call or a late game goal, and who knows what could happen there. It's one of the only, you know, I guess true real rivalries in New York, right? I mean, there's nobody else that really in the same division constantly playing each other the way those two are, and it's been fun to watch that unfold too. That's been one of the things that has really galvanized the bandwagon, is not only, you know, falling in love with the Isles, but growing to hate the Rangers. Always adds a little fuel to the fire, always spices it up a little bit when you got a team to hate as well.
A couple more questions for Kevin Clancy on the Isles Blog podcast. So, you know, you do the rundown with Dave, with Big Cat. Dave fights big Boston Bruins fans. Big Cat, as you mentioned, huge Chicago Blackhawks fan. Do you think come playoff time, if the Islanders made a run or just in a big series, do you think they will respect you as an Islanders fan to give kind of perspective or thoughts? Or are you, will you even be allowed to get excited about it? Or do you think they'll just quickly out you for a bandwagon fan and kind of dismiss the fact that it's even happening?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I embrace the bandwagon as much as I possibly could, to the point that I don't think anybody – you know, I could spend the rest of my life now breaking down Islanders film and learning more about the team than anybody else could possibly. You know, if I spent 24 hours a day doing it, I could become the biggest Islanders expert out there. I think I've kind of solidified my reputation as the bandwagon fan, and I'm fine with that. It is what it is. I don't have any plans of becoming the hockey expert anytime soon anyway. But, you know, I'll tell you right now, the Islanders make a run. I'll be getting excited about it. I'll be trying to work it into that rundown. Whether or not they accept it or respect me as a diehard fan remains to be seen, but I'll be talking about it for sure.
I mean, do you generally like watching the sport of hockey now? Like, if the Knicks were any good and there's a regular season Knicks game and maybe a big hockey regular season game, let's say Islanders Penguins on while the Knicks are playing, you know, the Bucks, you know, what are you watching? You know,
yeah,
next
that was kind of a sign this year. Again, I mean, a little bit hard to judge, obviously, because the Knicks are just such a dumpster fire. But this year, I just found myself wanting to watch it more. Or, you know, there are times I'm out to dinner and I'm checking scores under the table on my phone, and the first thing I'm doing is checking a hockey score. And there would be times when I would catch myself being like, and, you know, not even the Islanders. I'm looking at what the Rangers are doing. I'm looking at what the other teams in the conference are doing, what's going on in the Metro that night. And I almost caught myself. I had to step back and be like, wow, if KFC from 5 years ago could see me now checking out hockey scores and tweeting out about, you know, games in hand, arguing with Rangers fans about that crap, stuff like that. It's definitely been something that's kind of, you know, it's definitely gone past the shtick. It's definitely gone past, I'm just doing this for business or for page views or whatever it may be. It's definitely not something I'm actually pretty passionate about, whether or not I don't have the knowledge behind it like you guys do, obviously, but I'm okay with that. It's been more fun than anything. And like I said, man, it's really all about hating the Rangers too. Holy crap. I never understood. I never really recognized how awful the Rangers fan base is. They're terrible. They're just like the Yankees. They're just as smug as one of these like big brother New York franchises with really like nothing to back it up. You know, like when the Isles fans and the Rangers fans start arguing about cups, and all of us are talking about things that happened decades ago. It's they're just insufferable. They're terrible. They're horrible. And the fact that they're so good now just makes you want to puke. I'm like, God, the one time we're really cooking with gas and the Rangers are just doing their thing, it drives me crazy, Joe. They're terrible.
You know, I am with you.
I could have used a warning, you know what I mean? Let me know what I was getting into. Because the last thing I needed in my life was another team driving my blood pressure through the roof that I got to hate. Now I got a whole other set to deal with, you know?
No, I'm with you because we're both Mets fans. And, you know, the best Mets seasons were 99, 2000, 2006. And you got to share that, you know, with the Yankees. All three times the Yankees went as far, well, not 2006, but 99, 2000, they went as far as the Mets and obviously beat them in the Subway Series. Can the Islanders have, like, a moment to themselves? That's why I was so against the thought of a first-round playoff series, Islanders-Rangers. Let's have the Islanders at least have their moment, you know, win a playoff series finally since 1992-93, and then you take your chances with the Rangers. Let me ask you this, because you might actually be the perfect person to ask, because you really don't have the experience like a lot of Islander fans do of either having a short commute to the Coliseum or maybe a more difficult commute from Manhattan or Brooklyn and trying to get out to Long Island during the week or on weekends. What's an outsider's perspective of the move to Brooklyn and going to Barclays Center and what it'll do for the franchise perception-wise, you know, for the overall for the NHL or in the New York tri-state area? What will the effect be?
Yeah, I think it's a great thing. And I can understand where you know, the diehard fan or the guys living out on Long Island, the people who have been going to the Coliseum their whole lives, love it as, you know, their old barn. But, you know, like you said, kind of from an outsider's perspective or someone who's just a little more removed from the situation, I don't see, you know, I don't see how you can be against it. I you know, it's just a more, I'll be honest, right now, getting out to the Coliseum is a goddamn nightmare. It is terrible. It's coming. I mean, I'm coming from Jersey. So for me to get out there, it's like a 3-hour fiasco. And as lovable as that old barn is, it's, you know, it's time to upgrade. I'll say that. And I think, you know, just kind of changing venues and you know, just shaking things up right as, you know, Tavares has now kind of established himself and a lot of these extensions have been signed. A lot of these young players are really kind of coming into their own. It's like almost the perfect time to, like, I don't want to turn the page, but just kind of like reestablish the franchise and kind of get them back in the spotlight, make some more money, you know, new ownership getting in there. It just seems like a good time to kind of shed all of that negativity from, you know, the however many decades ago, you know, just to give a whole new perception to the franchise. I think it's a good thing. Like I said, I can understand where the diehards are not a fan of that. I mean,
Did you feel the same way about the Mets and Shea Stadium? I'm figuring you went to a lot of Met games at Shea growing up and maybe had the same connection there as Islander fans do with the Coliseum. Did you feel, you know, it was time anyway and you love Citi Field now?
Well,
and it's great,
the
or you go, ah, Shea Stadium, I miss Shea.
The difference is I do miss Shea. But the difference is that was just, you know, we're in the same place. It was just the building was upgraded, you know? I think moving is a different situation. If the Mets were to change boroughs or, you know, move, you know, I don't know, Westchester or something like that, I think it would be, that would be more of a comparable situation. I think at the time I was just thinking, hey, we're getting a new ballpark, you know, and I remember seeing when Citizens Bank first popped up, I was like, you know, I'd love a ballpark that looks like that. So I was kind of,
I want a McFadden. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, dude, that's the main thing that's always been missing, to just go to baseball for a second. You know, the fact that even at Yankee Stadium, you get stands and billies and there's that surrounding party, you know, when Shea is just the chop shops all over the place, you can't have that same element of fun. So I was cool with Citi. You lose a little bit of the nostalgia, but I was okay with that. This is different, though. I mean, I could see if I was a Long Island guy and all I used to just hop in my car and drive 10 minutes to the Coliseum, and now I got to go, like, into Brooklyn or I got to take, you know, mass transit in there. I get that, but I think on the whole, people, you know, selling out games with people from the city and just getting more exposure for the franchise and, like I said, making some more money, hopefully, being able to reinvest that in the team, I think is all good things on a grand scale for the franchise in general. That hopefully translates into more winning. And, you know, I don't care where my team plays if they're winning. So hopefully that's, you know, kind of the outcome and everybody can be happy, new fans, old fans, and everyone in between. If this team is making more money, who cares what building they're in, right?
Quick one, black and white jerseys, rumored about that being the third jersey in Brooklyn. Good idea, bad idea. People will make a big deal out of it, but it's really not a big deal.
No, I mean,
big
yeah.
deal. What's
Listen,
your thoughts?
None of this stuff is a big deal, but it's what fans get passionate about, and people love uniforms and team colors and logos and whatnot. So whatever, it's a little bit silly, but that's what people are passionate about. So who am I to judge? I think this notion that everything in Barclays needs to be black and white is bizarre. Like, why does that need to be the case? Well, I mean, the Nets can be black and white, fine, whatever. Why does there need to be this, like, blanket color scheme that everyone has to abide by? I don't like that idea at all. If it's an alternate third, every now and then it pops up, you know, whatever. But I just, more the logic behind it, like, hey, that's what we do here, kind of puzzles me, you know. It's like the Knicks and Rangers share a building. They're not making sure they have, you know, alternate thirds that match, right? kind of like
yeah,
a
I mean,
idea, but again, not the uh, not the end of the world. I will say that those logos that were trademarked a couple months ago.
Yeah, not so
that
good.
That one that looks exactly like the Bruins B has got to go. We obviously can't have that because that was ridiculous. It looked exactly like that block B they have up in Boston. So hopefully they avoid a situation like that. But I don't understand why they can't just keep everything the same. Just move buildings. Just move it into Barclays, you know?
Before we let you go, baseball season started today. Another Mets win on opening day. We'll see how the other 161 go. You're doing a lot of stuff at Citi Field this year. You mentioned, obviously, a lot of Islander fans are also Met fans. Why don't you tell us what Barstool and the Mets are doing this year at Citi Field? Sounds like a great deal you guys got going on.
Yeah, we got a little series called Barstool at the Ballpark going on right now. It started with the June 13th game against the Braves at Citi, which sold out pretty quick. We got two others that are available for sale right now. July, I want to say 11th against the D-backs, and then August 28th against the Red Sox. The deal is we're taking over the Pepsi porch. So you get a ticket, which gets you into the game, and you sit in the Pepsi porch. You get a voucher for a cheeseburger and some fries, and then the gem of the deal is unlimited beer from an hour before first pitch through the seventh inning. So if you're a Barstool reader or a fan of any of the podcasts I do, all of the readers and listeners will be up there in the Pepsi porch with an open bar for all Bud Light products all game long. So honestly, it's a deal you really can't beat. The Diamondbacks is priced at $85 right now. So you get a ticket, food, and unlimited beer at a New York baseball game. I feel like I've gone to games where, you know, my first round is $85 alone. You know, the Mets actually hooked it up there and got a good deal going. So, hey, they're doing something right for one.
Yeah, see, that's the advantage of when the team is bad. When the team is bad, you get these kind of promotions.
Right,
you get
exactly.
In the ballpark, exactly. And then they start to be good, and then those kind of go away, and you just got to buy a ticket like everyone else. But,
right.
Hey, Kevin, this was a lot of fun.
Hey, ride that wave while you can, right?
Oh, absolutely.
If you go to Mets.com/Barstool, that's where you can see the deal. Buy the ticket.
Okay, I mean, this was a lot of fun. Islander fans are excited that if they win a Stanley Cup and they have the parade in Eisenhower Park again for the first time since 1983, it'll be you that Matt Martin pulls up on stage to celebrate and represent Islander country. We look forward to that.
Well, listen, I hope we deal with that situation. I'm sure there will be some fans who are mad that a bandwagon guy would be up on stage, but I think we can all agree that if we're crossing that bridge, we're all very happy. We're all in good shape.
Kevin Clancy at KFC Barstool. Thanks again.
Absolutely, Joe. Thanks a lot, man.
You've been listening to the Isles Blog Podcast. Visit nyislesblog.com for an archive of the show or subscribe to the podcast via iTunes. Follow the team on Twitter @IslesBlog and send comments to nyislesblog@gmail.com.